You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. In the name of Jesus. Full of God, good evening. And like I said, I'll be doing some random rants before the meeting starts. And if you ask me that what is the most important lesson I've learned in my life, you know, particularly the time I've spent in ministry, I'll tell you that it is the principle of time maximization. The Bible said that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, the food is not to the wise. Alright, but time and chances happen to us all. So I've come to learn that whatsoever it is that a man's life turns out to be is a reflection of what he has done with his seasons and his time. Alright, the ability to recognize the seasons and time early and give it, you know, what it takes. Because every season comes to determine the activities to be done in that time. The season of rain, though, is not the same season that when you harvest. It is the season that you start, you know, planting. Yes, you plant and wait for rain. So it is the season to cultivate. So when a season comes, it determines the activity then. To not discern the season is to miss the activity. To miss the activity is to miss the result. Alright, so I want to particularly encourage you and talk to you about the posture of learning. If you are here and you genuinely follow hard and learn, alright, you are not doing the wrong thing. You are not amiss at all. But if you are still yet to, then something is really wrong. Alright, discern the season at the time that, you know, people that you may not be able to reach are still available as delegated by God to give time to teach, to pour out the wisdom that God has poured into them. To miss it is to miss the future. I said something in my message, you can get it on YouTube, Wisdom for Young Ministers, that when your season comes and God raised men who are gate in every generation, to refuse to listen to them is to not pass through the gate. You get what I'm saying now? So I am saying that we need to do more, right? Dedicate more attention, cultivate ourselves more, you know, to give ourselves to hearing. Particularly not just hearing routinely, but to follow hard, you know, with a heart to learn, to hold on to wisdom. I believe somebody gets what I'm saying here. Every generation that listens well will hear the most important keys that the others are not getting. I pray that God will open your eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I started a series of teaching, started talking about our timing, and I showed you three particular, very important and peculiar timing seasons that a man must not waste and must particularly pay attention to: the season of introduction, all right, the season of tribulation, and the season of announcement. That is of commencement, all right? The season where a man commences. And there is a reason why it was narrowed down just to those three, all right? The season of introduction. And I believe I took time to show you what that means. The season of tribulation that follows necessarily after introduction, all right? We read Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, all right? He was introduced, he was declared the Son of God with power. And he went out to John the Baptist to be baptized, as John the Baptist had already started before him. John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner. All right, Jesus being the Son of God, God in man, in human flesh, recognized the ministry of forerunners, meaning that it is not wisdom for a generation to be starting out and refuse to recognize that there are people that God has sent ahead. If you boast that your assignment is very special, then you must understand that your assignment is actually to complement what others have been building, all right? And then there are still many more coming behind you that will be sent to complement what you are building. So in the body of Christ, we don't compare works, we complement each other. So Jesus recognized the ministry of John the Baptist, and he humbled himself, though the Son of God. All right, he humbled himself to be baptized in the river. And the Bible said the moment that was done, the voice of heaven was opened unto him. These are very peculiar keywords we pay attention to. Heaven was opened unto Jesus. And then God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, all right, in whom I'm well pleased." And then God spoke to him. The moment heaven was opened unto him, he was declared, he was introduced to the people. All right, the next thing that happened was that in Luke chapter number 4, the Bible said, and Jesus was led by the Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So in between introduction and manifestation, there is a season there that is a season of turbulence. And it is very important, all right? And I'll tell you, if a man is not prepared for manifestation, he didn't go through turbulence, all right? The first jab from the pit of hell will knock him out. So the tribulation season is a season to teach the man to be strong. Look at what Paul told Timothy. Paul was speaking to Timothy and he said, "Therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ." All right, so soldiers endure hardness during training so they can last long on the battlefield. We're going somewhere very peculiar tonight. Please pay keen attention. So the moment Jesus was announced, the moment the Holy Spirit came, it was a very serious moment of celebration in his life, a point of breakthrough. His time had finally come. All right, he told his mother at the marriage of Canaan of Galilee, when the woman was asking to please and then, you know, help them, for the wine has finished. Jesus spoke to her that his time had not come. Now his time came, but the coming of the Holy Spirit upon his life, the first place the Holy Ghost led him to was into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why? It is important that you have, you know, like I told you, every level has its own devil. It is important that you have conquered, listen, you have conquered the wilderness experience before you can journey out with a generation into the promised land. There is always going to be a wilderness test, all right, between you, where you are living. You get what I'm saying? The captivity you are living from, all right, including the generation, and then the promised land. So there's always going to be a wilderness test. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8 from verse 2, all right, God speaking there was speaking through Moses to the Israelite. He said, "And thou shalt remember the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to test you, to humble you, to know what is in your heart, to know whether you will deny him or not. He said, and afterwards he fed you with manna which neither you nor your fathers know anything about, that you may know that man does not live by bread alone." It is in the wilderness that we will differentiate between those that are laborers and those who have come to use God. All right? Those who have come to use God want it quick. True laborers will go through. The Bible said Jesus himself, though he is the Son of God, learned obedience to the things which he suffered. The issue is this: if a man is suddenly placed in higher platform of manifestation without wilderness experience of training, you know what I'm saying? The man will manifest fully, and it will be very clear and obvious to the host of the pit of hell that the man has not been prepared. I've come to learn strategically that in ministry, all right, and in life, we don't survive mainly simply because of the anointing we carry. We survive by the strength of what the Lord has prepared us for. You get what I'm saying now? So the wilderness experience is a much needed experience. And there is one more thing about the wilderness experience. It is a place of journey of faith. And one thing about the journey of faith is that it is the platform where you are left to move with what God has said. He may choose not to say something new in that season, all right, but he has already said something. So in that experience, he leaves you to move and journey on the strength of what he has said. Now listen, in life, in between the season that suddenly there is a spotlight on you and then you are just, you know, discovered and everyone starts celebrating the grace of God upon your life, whenever that happens, please pay attention. It is a trap. If you run out and then calculate your strength on the account of the clamor of a new generation. All right, the moment there is a spotlight on you, remember that now your light is now so obvious, both to the host of heaven and to the host of the pit of hell. And both of them, the host of heaven will be after you to assist you and do you good, while the host of the pit of hell will be after you to leak, puncture, and destroy the vessel. So it is important that the moment the spotlight comes, okay, allow the hand of the Spirit to now journey with you back behind the mountain. Now, this is where it gets difficult, because those who are hungry for the light, who are hungry for visibility, those who want to be seen, it becomes very difficult at this point to now humble themselves and then turn back and allow the Lord journey back with them into the wilderness, where they will be truly tested and their heart will not be trusted before God can now entrust a generation into your hands. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the wilderness experience is a much needed experience that you have to go through. In that season, it will seem to you as though God is not your father. You know, I read the story of the Spartans, the Spartan army, and that's the Greek, a clan in the with the Greek, all right? And one of the things they do is that every male child born is allowed to go through a rigorous training, all right? And then they are allowed to go into the wild to be tested and prepared to become a man before they become part of the men of war, all right? In the kingdom, the principle is very similar. You came the way you were. You get what I'm saying? But you will have to be thoroughly prepared. You will have to be thoroughly tested. In that season of your life, it will look as though you are not a man that is anointed. But the reason is very simple. Just like people who want to play football. I play football, and I know that if you're a good player, you will have to first jog around the street, around the field. Why? So that you can burn out the stress, or let me call the unprofitable energy, and then you will now get the needed energy needed for the sport now. You get what I'm saying now? So in between the season you were announced, that suddenly people start discovering you, it will now become very obvious to the host of hell that there is somebody new here, and they will put everything about your life to a test. So God himself will now allow you go through a season. That season is what will determine whether you will last or not. I want you to get me straight. If the tribulation doesn't come, the man that is being announced stands no chance. The tribulation season will come. All right, it is to prove the kind of vessel that you are. Fire necessarily is not an agent of destruction. Fire is just a revealer. And what does fire do? Fire reveals pure substance and then consumes impure substance. So the season of the tribulation is a season that burns the chaff. All right, you will not know that you are walking in pride, arrogance, and ignorance until you are exposed to the fire, all right, that comes upon a man in the wilderness experience. It is this fire that will now reveal to you the kind of vessel that you are in every war front. All right, soldiers don't just shoot gun anyhow. The idea is this: there is something called SMG, which is submachine gun or machine gun. All right, the enemy listens attentively to the sound. They understand the sound of each weapon, and they listen clearly and notice which of the weapon of the opponent is the most offensive weapon. So they will listen to that sound, and then the larger part of the camp of the enemy will focus their most strength on the part where the most offensive weapon is coming from. So if a man is not trained and he carries so much power, the enemy will concentrate their attention on him and they will bring him down. So add that to the power you are carrying, because in the place of, look at David. Samuel suddenly came to the house of Eli, in the house of Jesse, in the midst of all his brethren, and then announced that the Lord's anointed is before me. All right, and then said, we will not sit down till he comes. And then when he came, the Lord spoke to them and said, arise, anointing. David would have thought that he was a man ready for what the Lord was going to do. But it was now important that the Lord will now take him on a journey of extra. All right, at that time he was 12. So God needed to take him on a journey of extra 18 years. All right. Extra 18 years before he could now be ready for what God wants to do with him. Certain degree of accolade and manifestation may come with the season of introduction, but until the wilderness experience is gone through, until the tribulation has been passed, the tribulation phase is a phase that you must go through and pass.
It is designed for a short time, but it can be longer, depending on your inability to cooperate with God. For the Israelites, their tribulation phase was supposed to be for 40 days. All right, the journey between Egypt and Canaan was supposed to be for 40 days. But on the strength of them not cooperating, you get what I'm saying, with all the agenda of God, the journey was increased, you get what I'm saying, by 39 years and 9 months and 10 days, which makes it 40 days, 40 years. You get what I'm saying? And even in the elongation of their wilderness experience, their valiant men died in that experience. Now, I want you to understand this. It is possible that a man is going through the tribulation phase and it gets extended beyond normal. It is a phase you start alive, but the proof that you are going to graduate is death. You get what I'm saying now? The proof of graduation, the proof that you are about to leave that phase, is that you have entered a life full of boasting, full of the things you know. But in the process of passing through, all the things you know have now been revealed to you, that you know next to nothing. Is somebody following me here? So the tribulation phase is a much needed phase. If not, you may run out in arrogance, thinking and comparing yourself with those who have been there. You get what I'm saying now? So that phase is much needed. The Lord himself will watch and allow people, you get what I'm saying now, probably even those that, you know, you are more anointed than them, you will have to pass through so that you can now learn the kind of obedience that will sustain you in the season of commencement. Whether a man will die out in the assignment or not, it will be on the strength of what he did with himself in the season of tribulation. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So that season is a phase to pass. Listen, when the announcement comes, everybody will see you. They will clap for you. They will celebrate you. But you may perpetually remain in the phase of announcement. Let me say this to you. The glory, the glamour, the spotlight that is upon a man that has been announced seemingly seems to be greater than the spotlight upon the man that is going through his tribulation. But the weight of a man who is going through the tribulation is far more than the weight of the man who is just been announced. The weight of the man who is being announced is untested weight. The weight of the man who is going through tribulation is the weight that is being tested. So don't boast yet on the strength of prophecies that have gone ahead of you. The man who have been prophesied about will have to be subjected to a test. And then we cannot tell whether you are part of those that will be in the valley of dry bones, or you are part of the great army that will arise. Quickly give you this. Every lesson of the wilderness, every lesson of the wilderness is a survival kit in the season of manifestation. Every lesson of the wilderness is a survival kit in the season of manifestation. Let me say it again. Every lesson of the wilderness is a survival kit of the season of manifestation. In life and in ministry, you are not doing it alone. You are standing in confrontation with a principality. All right, the devil is not omnipotent, neither is he omnipresent, but is a being of experience. All right, he knew the strategy that brought down powerful men who had gone ahead of you. The things you fail to pay attention to in the season of wilderness and tribulation, all right, they are the same thing that the devil will sit upon in the time that he needs to bring you down. Moses moved and killed one of the Egyptians when he was angry and trying to bring the Israelites out ahead of their time. You get what I'm saying now? But the devil saw that there was a weakness of anger. He made sure that the temptation of Moses revolved around the lesson he didn't learn. Your temptation will never be in the area of your strength. It will be in the area of your weakness. Your strength will never be in the area of the things. Your weakness will never be in the area of the things you have learned or cooperated with. Your weakness will always be in the area of the things you have not agreed with God about. You hear what I'm saying now? And that's why I'm telling you again, all right, that every lesson you learn in the wilderness, all right, they are things that will help you survive outside when you are manifesting. The Bible described the hall of fame of faith. Men like Moses, like Jephthah, like David, right, like Barak, in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible described them as men of faith. But the Bible said these men were men who wandered about in sheepskin, of whom the world was not worthy of. Meaning that having left the wilderness experience, the only way they survived was by making sure that in the midst of plenty, they retained the consciousness of the wilderness. And that was the meaning of that scripture. That despite the fact that Abraham was the most powerful and the most prosperous man in the world at that season, the Bible said he wandered about in wilderness in sheepskin, meaning that you are not translated from the midst of lack into plenty so you can die of overfeeding. No, sir. You are translated from the midst of lack into plenty so you can understand the purpose of the plenty and then not sit down like the rich fool and die of the abundance in the season of plenty. Are you seeing that now? Meaning that when you learn to abase in the wilderness, you don't kill yourself in the place of manifestation to abounding. Let me tell you this, that prosperity and manifestation is more deadly than wilderness. Most men are not known to have died in the wilderness. Let me say this to you, the larger chunk of the Israelites died when they entered Canaan. Why? The generation that have no battle to fight, you know what I'm saying? Their weight is always little. So I am saying this so you can learn. Everything the Lord is passing you through, the lessons, all right, the days you felt you were ignored, no one respected you, no one recognized the grace of God upon your life, every lesson learned in that season, they are not supposed to be trashed the moment God begins to manifest you. So you are to live your life with the consciousness. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalms 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In the wilderness is the season that you know you needed the presence of God the most in your life. So you will always be confronted with the temptation to think you can do it without God the moment God has promoted you. You hear what I'm saying? That will be a very fatal conclusion. So the moment God, by strength and arms, you know, reveals himself to you, shows you the prosperity dimension, you are now to depend on him more. The season of lack, the season of wilderness, you know what I'm saying, is a season that will put to question, you know, the faithfulness of God. But the season of abundance is a season that will put to question your own faithfulness. There is one very popular statement we say. And what is the statement? You don't jump up in life, you grow up. It is very simple. You will only be able to retain influence to the degree of the ones you have been prepared for. You see, I have discovered that quite a lot of people think that the moment influence comes, the moment the anointing comes, then they have gotten to their destination. No, sir. Those things are only tool of commencement. All right, beyond when men begins to know you, there is a purpose for, you know, for which God is now allowing your generation to see you, and the purpose is to be achieved when the spotlight comes. You know what I'm saying now? So those who already conclude in their heart, all right, that, you know, their generation seeing them is what they are really looking up to. They are fasting and praying. But there is a subconscious mindset that says that the moment they start seeing them, giving attention to them, then they have arrived. No, that's a very wrong mindset. If you stop, if your expectation is small, you get what I'm saying? You get convenient early, your journey will stop around the area of your convenience. And this is why, irrespective of what God does to you, irrespective of the degree to which he lifts you, you are never to come to a point where you are no longer hungry, you know, of more of, for more of God. I believe somebody is following well. Amen. All right, so let me add this to you. When every man is going through that season, all right, of tribulation, I've never seen a man who is in trouble and fail to pray. Men only stop prayer when they're out of trouble, and that is when they enter the real trouble. The idea is this: tribulation season is to show to you the posture you are to take so you can never be in it again. Have you forgotten, or let me say, will you not consider that the activities you were into that brought you out of a major turbulent season of your life should be the same activity you need to sustain so as never to get back there? Whatsoever it is that brought you out of the pit must never be thrown away. All right, so what that season is for is to show you the military aspect of life, is to show you that you can survive on the strength of waiting and calling upon the Lord. The problem, you see, it's a very serious issue. The issue is this, and that is the problem of many people, particularly young folks in this generation. They follow God until God brings them out of major situations, and then they begin to give the impression that now they have the wisdom and then they have the anointing, you know, to sustain themselves and carry themselves through the remaining part of life. The humility you learned in the place of tribulation must never be thrown out in the problem of manifestation, lest you go back to the same pit. All right, the honor you learned in the problem of tribulation must never be thrown out in the season of manifestation, lest you end like Vashti. You know, I remember I just replied a mail of somebody who, you know, was reaching out for days, for weeks now, about the need to come help in a life one area. And, you know, I had to reply the mail bluntly, and I said, you know, that you are reaching out for help with the impression that you are the one who wants to help me. There is always something that is porous about a generation of men who didn't learn obedience to the things they suffer. Let me say this to you, irrespective of what you learn from the world, there is always going to be a need for practical learning. You can never successfully, for instance, pastor people until you have been pastored and told to do things by instruction, not by convenience. All right, that season is a season where it will not look convenient, but the idea is this: it is to bed something in you that is to keep you and then help you to last. When men escape their wilderness season and they get to the throne of manifestation, they will lack the anointing and the power it takes to sustain it. I have always noticed that there is a separate weight that is attached to a generation that passed through compared to a generation that only came into inheritance. All right, so you are not to dodge the process. No, sir. You see, the process you pass through is not a sign that you are not doing fine. You get what I'm saying? The process is not a sign that you are not doing fine. The process is a sign that there is something God is preparing you for. If your preparation is brief, your manifestation will be short. If your preparation is simple, your manifestation is not too important. If your preparation is not hard, then your assignment is not special. Everything God wants to use a man for, the strength and the intensity of it, will be seen in the rigor of the preparation. So God has it in such a way that, having looked at what lies in the destiny of a man, he passes through the man, he allows the man to go through the lessons that will prepare the man for it. At this point, it is not God that will do the preparation, it will allow the devil to do it. And that was exactly what the Bible was saying in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. That if the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Alright, the devil the devil will come. He will bring his men. Some of them will not be nice. They will say many things against you. They will do many things against your destiny. But the idea is this. It takes what is not pleasant. Fire is not pleasant to boil a food. You get what I'm saying? If all you go through is what is pleasant, you will never look like what God wanted. There is kind of ruggedity that is required in the place of manifestation. That you must have faith. You see, I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid of, I'm not afraid of lack. Because I passed through a season that I had to wait on God even to be able to afford pure water. So there is nothing the enemy wants to do at this season that I'll be afraid of. But if I had not passed through those seasons, I will so cling to the little things, the crumbs I'm seeing now, and I'll be afraid. When soldiers are not well trained, soldiers that receive preferential treatment in the place of preparation, they are the first that will die in the battlefront. So the place of tribulation is not a place where you will get preferential treatment. Even Jesus, when he was on the cross, the Father turned his back, because it was important that justice be served for sons to be raised to glory. The proof that God loves you in the season of tribulation is that he will have to fold his hands and let you go through. Those who are loved are those who will have to go through. At that season, exemption from training is not a sign of love. As a matter of fact, if you have been exempted from the preparation that you see God passing your colleagues through, it is a time to cry out and ask him if you are still a son. Amen. There is always something you have to pay attention to. Sit back. Observe the body of Christ. Look at church history. you will discover that there is always a season that certain windows are opened and then certain men are released. You get what I'm saying? If you check, you will discover that each generation of men who are manifesting, there is always a similarity between when they came out. Sometimes the open window is always for 5 years. Some other time it can last for 10 years. Some other time it is just for 3 years. The idea is this: if you fail to cooperate with God to come out in the season where men of your own time are being released, you will have to wait for another oscillation. Between every 2 days, there is always a night. All right, the period of oscillation before another window is opened sometimes may be up to 20 years, and some other time may be up to 10 years. So the idea is this: you are not, it is not about those that you are age group, no sir. It is about those that you cooperated with God around the same season. All that God wants you to learn is that you will learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 that was the summary of what God wanted them to learn in the wilderness. That everything we live and survive by is through the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I have seen men who came out and were manifested, and until their generation started asking them, how come you are imagined this way? Was it that you were not passed through the process that produced your colleagues? You get what I'm saying now? We all, if you are expecting manifestation, remember that manifestation is not just an end in itself. It came through a means. If you don't pass through those means, when you come to the end, you'll be fragile and you will not last. In the midst of the things I tell people that we have started, we have been discussing, I do tell everyone that I've seen serving. Now, people usually ask, when exactly is the time of commencement? All right, I see people who are stewards, probably in a ministry, stewards, well, by steward I mean workers, all right, assistant pastors and all those things. Listen, commencement is not when you start your own empire. Commencement is when you start serving. Where you are, whether you are serving under or you have been given an assignment uniquely apart from another ministry, the moment you start serving, you have commenced. So this is how men miss out. Okay, at the moment they are stewards in a place, ministers under a pastor or an assistant somewhere, they are unfaithful with the assignment. You get what I'm saying? And they play around the time believing that someday when God calls them, then they will now become serious with that which God is now going to call them to do. It is a trap. The moment you are somewhere, either you are assisting somebody in managing a small group, either on WhatsApp, as long as you have started serving, you have commenced. There are many of you who are thinking that you are commencing in the next 20 years. As long as you have started serving, you have commenced. The earlier you start giving attention to it with the whole of your might and life, the better. Let me say this to you. This is a very serious secret. Many are thinking that commencement is until God calls them and say, I'm giving you the name of so and so ministry. There are many amongst us who will never have such calling. There are many who will have to walk behind the scene. There are many who will have to do background job. The idea is not building an enterprise. The idea is doing what the master wants done at the time he wants it done. You get what I'm saying now? So the moment God sees that a man is waiting for a label and not for an assignment, what the man has done is that he has fallen into the trap where he will not be trusted. Because if you are faithful in little, much more will be committed to your hands. The reward for correct stewardship is more assignment. The reward for correct service is more labor. So in the kingdom, you don't wait for when there is a label. Many are waiting for when they become general overseer, for when they will become social and soul leader. Listen, the disciples of Jesus were asking who amongst them was the greatest. And Jesus had to look at them and tell them, all right, that anyone amongst you who is will take the posture of a servant, the same is the greatest. So the idea is this. You see, you are never to get to a point where you have by chance, carelessness or mistake, start building for yourself. The principle is simple. Whatsoever it is your aunt finds doing, do it well. Whether you are managing a WhatsApp platform on behalf of somebody, or you are leading a ministry of two or three people, or you are an assistant pastor, a choir head, a prayer warrior member, or a church, you know, worker and usher, The moment you have entered service, ministry has started. The moment you let this sink, it may look scary, but it's the truth. So there are many of you who have started 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but you are still playing because you think you will start later. Your generation are already mounting up on wings and they are taking off ahead. Or by taking off ahead doesn't mean going to pick label. It is to end the trust of God. So you have to go back to that assignment you have been toiling with and playing with and become faithful, acknowledging that you have commenced. I believe somebody will take this very serious. Listen. Listen well. People usually don't know when they start. Because unlike the season of introduction, there will be no announcement. Where service is, a man has started already. Have you been to a place before where you saw, probably you went to a supermarket or you went to a grocery store, right? And then you saw some other kids like yourself came in. You get what I'm saying? Fresh, more fresh, and probably more rich and some other things. But you just knew somewhere within your heart that with the things that these guys seem to have, they don't have the experience you have. They don't have the solidity you have. Listen, we don't rate ministry and ministers based on the externalities. We rate ministries and ministers based on the solidity gained from the place of preparation. All right, the accuracy, the fluency, the strength, the commitment, the discipline that a man and the minister functions with, all right, is always a reflection of the kind of process he passed through. You know, there is going to be a difference between somebody who went to a Nigerian college of education and the one who went to Harvard and then studied a course in education. The idea is not even just about, most times, not even about just going through. It is about under whom did you go to, under what situation. And that's why, you know, I advise people. If people look at you and then they hail you and talk about the great things you are doing, it matters who tells you you are doing fine. If a mediocre compliments you, then he sees you in his own category. All right. If somebody who is very jovial, who is not serious with life, tells you you are doing excellently well, then he's saying, I have seen my partner. All right. There are many people that the endorsement they are running with is from men who are not serious. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. So it is not about the gadget, not about the sophistication of the externality. It is about the internal process. It is not all ministers that will misbehave in the future on the account of the kind of process they have been passed through. And that's why I tell you that your temptation will always revolve around the areas of your unfaithfulness. It will always revolve around the things you kept under the blanket, the things you didn't learn. You didn't learn fasting well. You didn't learn prayer well. When others are learning, you will always have issues battling with that area. All right? So, we don't rate men based on those external future, but we sit down. We look at the strength of what the Lord has built into people through process. You get what I'm saying? And then we see men emerge with strength. There are people who are building that what they are building will entice and, you know, will make their generation clap. But the idea is that it lacks what it takes to stand the test of time and then move into another generation. You get what I'm saying now? All right. So, taking attention to what the Lord is saying, and I believe somebody will be blessed. Now, listen, if you are trained well, you went through the tribulation season well, in the hands of tutors and even the enemy, you went through those seasons well, you will start well. You get what I'm saying? I tell people what heaven has called, the earth must confirm. It is not a wise thing to start out anything whatsoever you want to do, all right, without having people you are submitted into, submitted under, that will look at your life and tell whether you are ready or not. You don't move out when you think you are ready. You move out when you are told you are ready. Is somebody follow what I'm saying here? All right. So there is always a need, not for accountability with people you choose, when to be accountable with them. And listen to me, you don't follow your leaders on your own terms. You follow your leaders on their terms. All right, meaning that you are now to come. If you want to retain your ways while following your leaders, you will not end well. So you have to drop the knowledge of your own ways, all right, and then let them, all right, hold you by the hands, and then you follow on their own terms. All right, and this is how to practically learn. Glory to God. Listen to me. All right, during introduction, if you are not swallowed in pride, you will submit yourself to pass through the tribulation, which is the wilderness season. If you pass through it well, you commence well. All right, the lessons of the wilderness, if you take the wilderness experience with you into the time of commencement and you walk with it as though you were still in the wilderness, then you will end well. So let me round up with this statement. Two soldiers don't say, now we are out of the training ground, we can now eat, relax, and then be satisfied and then make merry. No, sir. Two soldiers stay vigilant. The same way they were vigilant while they were going through training is the same way they have to be vigilant while in the battlefront. Why? Everything you learn in the training field is what will determine whether you survive the battlefront or not. When you listen to my message, it starts by telling you that you don't learn how to shoot a gun in the battlefield. If you have to learn to shoot in the battlefront, then you are a dead soldier. And that is so true about life. You subject yourself to the process to learn. And the lessons you learn, you don't throw them away because you think you have now gotten what you want. Once you do that, you will discover that those things can develop wings and fly away. I believe somebody has been instructed, blessed, amen, tonight. So honored. Somebody can compile all these voice notes together and convert them into PDF or put them together and make them one. All right, so we all can listen, be blessed, and then get the PDF. I will appreciate if somebody can do that. God bless you. God strengthen your heart. Remain blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.